I'm John Carter in Moscow, in Havana, Cuba. Now in Kiev, the capital of Ukraine.
I'm John Carter in Petra,
right here in communist China,
reporting from India.
Hi, I'm John Carter in the Solomon Islands.
I'm John Carter in Soweto,
from El Salvador.
I'm John Carter in Sydney, Australia.
Welcome back, my friends. For those who've just joined us, this is the Carter Report. I'm John Carter, and at present I'm downtown in Brisbane, down under. we're here downtown Brisbane, down under, and of course is Australia. Now, Brisbane, where on earth is Brisbane? Well, Brisbane is the capital of Queensland. Where on earth is Queensland? Well, that's the northern part of Australia. It's a huge, huge state. And Brisbane is the place where I was brought up as a boy. But Brisbane has grown up, and I haven't sort of grown up so much. I've just grown old. But it's now it's a gorgeous city. And if people want to know a little bit more about Brisbane, Brisbane is going to get, so I'm told, the Olympic Games after Los Angeles. So if you want to know where Brisbane is, you can go online, and it's going to be the place that they hope down here, and it's all been worked out. They're going to get the Olympic Games. So I want to say to all my friends around Australia and all my friends around America, greetings, and I'm so glad to be talking to you today. I was telling the folks in the first part of the program, how the Americans came to the aid of Australia in the Second World War. Now, the Japanese were coming down like a wolf upon the fold. And Australia was going to go down, sure as anything. But the Americans met them in the Coral Sea, that mighty battle, the Battle of the Coral Sea. Americans lost lots and lots of warships, and they showed tremendous courage. And as the enemy kept coming, the Americans stood their ground and they poured in the ships. If America had not stood with Australia, all of us, now this is true, and you're going to smile a little bit about this one, but it's true. And my son David reminded me of this. If the Americans had not come to the aid of Australia, all the Australians today would be talking Japanese, because the Japanese were this close to taking over Australia. But now the Japanese are our allies, and America is building this tremendous military base up there outside Darwin in the Northern Territory. And they're coming to defend Australia together, because America believes that war is just over the horizon. We read the text today out of the book of Isaiah, where the prophet asks the question, "Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? What time is it, watchman? What time is it, watchman?" And the watchman says, "The morning is coming, and also the night." And that's my message for you today. I'm trying to tell you from the Bible prophecies, I'm trying to show you from the Bible prophecies, that we are living just before the morning breaks upon this world, and the morning will come in glory when Jesus returns. But for many people, the morning is not going to be morning, it's going to be nighttime. But for you and for me, by the grace of God, it can be the greatest day of our lives. It can be the day that ushers in eternity. I was saying in the first part of my talk that Christians and the Christian church ought to be above politics and nationalities. We love people of all colors. No Christian can ever be a racist. Jesus was completely opposed to racism. No Christian can ever be anti-Semitic. You know why? Because Jesus, our Lord, was a Jew. Think that through. We can never be opposed to the Arabs because the Arabs are also the descendants of Abraham. And so I want you to know this today. I know there's this terrible war going on over there in Europe, but we love the Russian people. Some of our best friends are Russians. I've been to Russia 49 times. And then I've got great friends also in Ukraine. And there's terrible suffering going on there, and we ought to be praying that Christ will bring peace to that part of the world. I love these people who've suffered so much. And today, the world is on the brink of a nuclear war. I read it today when I got out of bed. The New York Times, it spoke about the secret memo that has been released to the press, where President Biden and his cabinet some months ago devised a plan to build up a new arsenal of nuclear weapons. Because they're thinking of China and Russia and North Korea. We're living in this time, my friend, described by the prophets of old. Now, I guess every person has heard of the doomsday clock. Have you heard of the doomsday clock? I'm sure you have. It's found in the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists. After Hiroshima, these atomic scientists got together and they said, how can we warn the world about this tremendous disaster that is looking us in the face? We've got these doomsday weapons. And so they had printed this magazine, and in this magazine, they had a picture of a clock. And during the years, they moved the hands of the clock back and forward. I want you to know today that right now, the hands of the doomsday clock are pointing at 90 seconds to midnight. Now, who are these people? Are these people preachers? Are these people Bible believers? Are these people teaching the prophecies? No, these people on the whole are atheists and humanists. Many of them don't even believe in God. But on the weight of the evidence, they believe that we are living at 90 seconds, not 90 minutes, 90 seconds to midnight. The prophecies of the Bible are being fulfilled. Read you that text in the first part of the program. We went over there to Revelation chapter 11 and verse 18. And there 2,000 years ago, the Bible says that Christ would come at the time when the nations have got the awful capacity to destroy the earth. Uses those words. It says, he shall destroy those that destroy the earth. We are living at that moment in history. And the doomsday clock is 90 seconds to midnight. Years ago, when we were living in the great state of Texas in the United States of America that we love very much, I baptized a man there by the name of Mike Huckabee. Haven't seen Mike for more than 30 years. If you watch this telecast, Mike, let me say, how you doing, Mike? How you doing? I remember the very happy time we had in the great state of Texas. And I remember when you took me out to the Air Force Base, that great Air Force Base just outside Fort Worth there in Texas, and you arranged for me to go, Mike. Hope you can hear this telecast. You arranged for me to go through a B-52 bomber. They are those big bombers that carry nuclear weapons, hydrogen bombs. I can remember going through this tremendous bomber, and I was allowed to sit in the place where they actually control the release of nuclear weapons. It brought it home even more fiercely to my soul that we're living in the hour of God's power. We're living in the time when God is going to finish his work. The nations are angry. And then when I was in St. Petersburg in Russia, we ran campaign meetings in the beautiful city of St. Petersburg in Russia. I remember Beverly and I went to this great cemetery and we saw the graves of thousands, tens of thousands of brave Russian soldiers. What tremendous courage the Russians showed in their war against the Nazis. Tremendous. And then I thought of the poem that had written was written by a man by the name of Kennedy. He said, "God cried himself to sleep last night." Can you imagine that? God cried himself to sleep last night. He sees much more than we. He saw 10,000 lonely hills, each hill a Calvary. I can imagine when God looks down upon this world, which has become a great battlefield. I can imagine that Kennedy got it right. God cried himself to sleep. Then in Ukraine, I went out in the forest with my team. We went to a memorial and cemetery, a memorial for the people who died fighting the Nazis in the Second World War. And they've got something there which is remarkable. They've got the recording of a beating heart. You can hear the heart thumping and beating. And as you come through the forest, you can hear the heart of those people who died defending their motherland. They died by the millions. Did you know that the Russians during the Second World War and the people of the Soviet Union lost about 25 million people? 25 million. And so we don't live in politics. We're, by the grace of God, as a Christian, I'm not involved in politics. And I tell people, God loves people everywhere. God loves the Russians. God loves the Ukrainians. God loves the Jews. God loves the Americans. God loves the Muslims. God loves the Australians. God loves the Canadians. And most importantly, my friend, listen to this. God loves you. You hear this? God loves you. You may feel today, nobody knows anything about me. Yes, God knows about you. And God loves you. He loves you. Going to come over now to Luke 21 and verse 20 and onwards. Luke 21 and verse 21 and onwards. Let me read this passage to you. Luke 21 and verse 20 and onwards. Jesus said, "When you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those in the city get out, and let those in the country not enter the city. For this is the time of punishment in fulfillment of all that has been written. How dreadful it'll be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. There'll be great distress in the land and wrath against this people. They will fall by the sword and will be taken as prisoners to all the nations. Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled." The Bible says, now listen to this, that Jerusalem will never see peace again. The Middle East will never see peace again. There'll be no peace in Israel or the Middle East until they accept the Prince of Peace. There's no peace, my friend, without Jesus Christ. It says in the prophet Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Christ is the Prince of Peace, and there'll be no peace in Jerusalem, no peace in the Middle East, no peace anywhere until Christ is accepted as Lord of all and King of kings and the Savior of the world. What the Middle East needs, what you need, what I need is Christ, the Prince of Peace in our lives. Let me tell you just a little bit about the two brothers. The two brothers, because this is where it all started. I'm talking about the problems in the Middle East. There was a man by the name of Abraham. Have you heard of Abraham? Of course you have. Father of the faithful. He was married to a lady by the name of Sarah. And Sarah just couldn't have babies. That was a big problem back in those days. And so what Abraham did, on the advice of Sarah, I might add, he took another wife, an Egyptian girl, by the name of Hagar. And she gave him a son by the name of Ishmael. And from Ishmael come the Arabs. Now, later on, by the grace and the mercy and the miracle working power of God, Sarah had a baby. When she was an old, old lady and Abraham was an old, old man, and the name of the baby was Isaac. And from Isaac came the Jews. And from the Jews came the Messiah, Jesus. And what you've got today in the Middle East is an old family quarrel that's been going on for 4,000 years. It's a quarrel between Hagar and Sarah and Isaac and Ishmael and now the Arabs and the Jews, half brothers. What is the solution? I just read you the solution in Isaiah chapter 9. Christ is the Prince of Peace. And there'll be no peace in the Middle East, no peace in the world until Christ is accepted. We need Christ. Now, the prophecies of the Bible tell us this. Now, I've got a lot of things I still want to tell you, but I'm going to run out of time, but that's okay. It says, before the coming of Christ, there'll be the coming of lots of little antichrists who will prepare the way for the final antichrist. You can read about that in Matthew 24, 23 to 26. We read it in the first part of the program. It says there are going to be false Christs, false prophets, and people are going to be running after these false Christs and these false prophets. So one of the signs of the last days will be the coming of pseudo-Christs, people who claim to be messiahs and people who claim to speak in the name of God when really they are charlatans. And then the Bible says all of these little antichrists are going to give way to the coming of a great big antichrist. And so a tremendous antichrist is going to come, and he is going to deceive the whole wide world. I want to come over here now to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Give me a minute so I can find this text, because I want to read it to you. I'm going to turn to, when I get to it, 2 Thessalonians, and it's getting closer. Here it is, 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 9 to 12. These are the words of the great apostle Paul, 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 9 to 12. The coming of the lawless one, that's the Antichrist. There's going to come the great Antichrist, the final manifestation. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles. Going to be miracles, signs and wonders, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie, and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness. Just want to try to make this plain, because we're talking from the text, watchmen, what of the night? And the answer came back, the morning is coming, also the night. Yeah, the morning of Christ's coming, it's coming, but before the coming of Christ, there's going to come a great Antichrist. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says that this Antichrist actually sits in the temple of God, and he pretends to be God. And millions of people, billions of people are going to fall down on their faces, and they're going to worship the false Christ, and they're going to think that this is the return of Christ. And lots of preachers, lots of television evangelists are going to be preaching like crazy. They're going to be saying, Christ has come, Christ has come, Christ has come. But it's not really Christ at all. It is the Antichrist. And the Bible says this Antichrist is going to have certain characteristics. You know what those characteristics are? Well, 2 Thessalonians 2:4 says he's going to be a religious person. The Bible says the man of sin who sits in the temple of God. Read it for yourself. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4. The Antichrist is a pseudo-Christ. He's a counterfeit. He's a fraud. And he takes his place in the very temple of God. He sits in the church of God. And he says that he is God, and he is the great liar. He is the great liar. He is the great fraud. And the multitudes of earth fall down on their faces, even in the mud, and they worship him and they accept him as Jesus. They accept him as Jesus. Because they've never really given their lives to Christ, and they've never studied the scriptures. They believe all of the lies. You and I know today that we live in an age of lies and slander and fake news, and we know that on social media and everywhere, there's stuff being put out that is just a mass of lies. And now we've got this artificial intelligence, not on the horizon, but it's here today. And they can take you, they can take me, and they can have me walking around looking like me, talking like me, speaking like me. But it's not me. This is the age of super, super overwhelming deception. That's one of the great signs. Jesus spoke about it, Paul spoke about it. We have reached the time. So we come back to that text that we introduced at the beginning of our talk. The first part, and then I think we talked about it up at the front of the second part. Watchman, what of the night? It's in Isaiah, was it chapter 21? Watchman, what of the night? A voice cries out, Watchman, what of the night? What time is it, Watchman? And the Watchman says, the morning comes, and also the night. The morning comes, and also the night. What is my message to you today? The message comes from my soul. My message is this: the morning comes. Christ is coming. Don't despair. Christ is coming. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's coming. He's coming to make a new heaven and a new earth. He's coming to resurrect the saints. He's coming to take his people home to glory. He's coming to destroy evil. He's coming to destroy the Antichrist. You say, how do you know? Well, the Bible says so. Christ is Lord of all and King of kings, and he will be victorious. But for those who turn away from God, those who hate God, and for the Antichrist, it's not going to be morning, it's going to be night. And you and I need to make up our minds whether we are going to have the morning or whether we are going to have the night. I want you to know this today. As you think about what I've been saying today, as I've been talking about some of these prophecies, talking about things that are happening in the world, I want you to know this. God loves you. You're important to God. Christ died for you. Think of this, Christ actually died for you. He went to the cross
for you. For God so loved the world for you that he gave his only begotten Son, so that if you believe in him, you won't perish, but have everlasting life. Believe the good news. God loves you. And the morning is coming.
Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." John Carter reports, "We have seen God's power as the gospel of Christ has been proclaimed in Africa, India, Russia, Ukraine, Cuba, El Salvador, and many other places. We invite you to partner with us in proclaiming Jesus Christ."
To God be the glory. Great things he has done.
Write today to the Carter Report, P.O. Box 1900, Thousand Oaks, California, 91358. That's the Carter Report, P.O. Box 1900, Thousand Oaks, California, 91358. In Australia, write to the Carter Report, P.O. Box 861, Terrigal, New South Wales, 2260. That's the Carter Report, P.O. Box 861, Terrigal, New South Wales, 2260. Thank you for your generous support. We look forward to hearing from you soon. May God richly bless you.
For a copy of today's program, please contact us at P.O. Box 1900, Thousand Oaks, California, 91358. Or in Australia, contact us at P.O. Box 861, Terrigal, New South Wales, 2260. This program is made possible through the generous support of viewers like you. We thank you for your continued support. May God richly bless you.